right, so welcome to our first, we'll call this the attempt at a parent-son learning session at Migdal Torah. I'm going to explain kind of the objective of this and the type of shiur we're going to give this time. And if this works out well, then I think we should do this more often in the future with bigger, more time spent and bigger sugyas. So the objective is that I'm sure that you hear throughout the year from the guys here in yeshiva what they're learning. But I thought it would be nice to invite the parents to join us as yeshiva in what we do here learning-wise, so that you don't just hear little snippets of things, but actually understand what makes this derech unique and how we learn. The challenge is to come up with an area that we could do in a short period of time. If everybody likes this, we'll move it to a longer period of time. For a short period of time, and just bring out one basic svara, basic idea, and something that regardless of anyone's background, we can kind of get into it relatively easily. So let's see how this goes, and I'm looking forward to feedback from both the parents and the guys here, and let's have some fun with this. So the area we want to take up is a very, I'll start off comment kind of with the conclusion, and then work backwards, okay? So I'm sure everybody knows, if you go to someone's house for Shabbos, and they make hamotzi, so the general custom that people bring out to the table is, what do they usually bring out, or insist on having on the table? Salt, okay? I mean, except for in the Lichter house, right? Lifton. But in general, everyone brings out salt, right? They have salt. Oh, by the way, if any parents have any questions, the best way to do it is to WhatsApp or text or whatever your kids, and then they'll ask a question to me.
My father says it froze. He can't hear anything.
He might be in his end. Okay. You can't hear anything? Okay. So everyone knows that the common minog is to bring salt out to the table on Shabbos when you make a motzi on Lecha Mishnah. What's odd about that is that if you look at the source of having salt with bread, it has nothing to do with Shabbos at all. It's actually brought down in Hilchos Betzias Apas. Nothing to do with Shabbos. So that's initially I got into the sugya because I always wondered, where does it come from to bring salt on your table, bedafka on Shabbos? The good news is there is no source for just bringing salt on your table to have Lecha Mishnah on Shabbos. Rather, as you'll see, if you're going to have salt or any dip with your bread, you really should have it every single time you make hamotzi. We're not going to get into every specific halacha, only due to time constraints, but I want to at least get a sense of what the Gemara is talking about, and let's see what you guys come up with in terms of a svara. All right, so the Gemara starts in Mem, Amad, Aleph, and Brachos. Who wants to read? Yeah? Okay.
The top?
Top. Read from the top. Just get to it quickly.
Amar Rav, Tul.
Baruch.
Baruch, Tul.
Baruch.
Baruch.
Tol Baruch. Tol Baruch. Okay. Okay, so the Gemara is introducing a very fascinating idea, which in and of itself, after this year is over, if you guys want to define this further, you really should. But the Gemara says that after a person makes a motzi, okay, after I make a motzi lechem in arts, all right, what am I allowed to do? So assume I have other guests at the table, I'm allowed to say, take from the bread, take from the bread. Okay, you're allowed to, and it's not considered a hefsek. That itself requires a svara. The question you should ask is, it sounds very much like, if I talk after I make a bracha, I'm in big trouble. Kamash Malan, the Gemara says, for something like passing bread out to other people at the table, it's not considered a hefsek, it's not considered a hesek hadas. Yeah.
Well, the whole thing is very, very...
Right, well, that's why I wanted you to do this Gemara first. What you're suggesting is that, without defining it, you're suggesting that there's something about taking the bread and saying to other people, take the bread, that's somehow within the context of the bracha. Therefore, it would not be a hefsek. Correct? Yeah. Okay, I agree. But the next line is the key line. So what does the Gemara say?
Hava melech. Melech. Hava melech. Hava liftan.
The hava, right? What? Bring hava.
It's a base?
Yeah, it is. Sorry.
Hava melech, hava liftan. Sarech levarech. The Yochanan Amar.
Oh, stop. So the Gemara already suggests that if a person, if after I make a motzi lechem in aretz, I say, bring the salt or bring the dip, all right, that's not considered a hefsek. So this is our first mention in the Gemara of an idea of bringing salt or some sort of other dip to the table with bread. Okay, so now go to the next Gemara.
Right.
Again, this also requires its own svara, but just to stick on topic here, we'll, again, on your own, you definitely should define this. But let's stick to the main sugya.
I'm a Rav Bar Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Chiya.
Okay, I'm not worried about this nekel echa v'echad. What my concern is that it sounds like every time I want to make hamotzi, what must be on the table?
Salt or lifton.
Salt or lifton. Already you sound something a little weird, because today a dip, a relish, a spread. I've yet to be at someone's house where instead of the salt, they'll bring out like hummus. You have, of course. What a shocker. Okay, but in general, you know, we'll get to. What?
Some places have been used not salt.
Which is fine. But the point is, the Gemara never says you have to use salt, halachically, right? You bring something other than simply the bread, okay? All right. We'll get to, there should be a question you should ask immediately on this, but we'll get back to that in a second.
See,
finish the Gemara.
We'll see later on, like, there's something special about now, something unique.
Oh, we'll get to that. Go on the Gemara.
Rava Bar Shmuel, Ikla Levi Reish Galusa.
The Bay Reish Galusa. So he went to the Reish Galusa.
Right. Afiku Le Rifta.
So what did he do?
So he, for some reason, he made a motzi before he brought had the salt and the
right. So there was no extra additive on the table, and he went ahead and made a motzi. Uh oh! Doesn't that contradict the halacha from before? And they ask him.
Amar le, hadar mar shmate.
So amar lehu.
Les din tzarich.
Bashash. Okay, so Bashash is a very difficult word. The Aruch himself, the Aruch, who was one of the earliest dictionaries, halachic dictionaries written, had different explanations for what Bashash is. But to make it simple, what was his argument? Why did he not bring salt or lifton to the table when he made a motzi? Because the bread was good, flavorful. It had flavor in it. What can we deduce from that, just factually?
The bread sucked.
Yes. I could not have put it better myself.
Okay.
But could we be a little more precise than say what you said? It was tasteless, okay? By the way, so there was I gave this over to my Baal Batim in Buchman last year, and there's one guy there who actually has high blood pressure, and his doctor told him they make bread that has no salt in it, okay? You know what that tastes like? Tasteless bread. There's such a thing. It's like a very, I don't know how to describe it, it's just bland. It's worse than mindset. It's like just very bland. Very, very bland. Okay. So, parents-wise, everyone understands so far the facts? The Gemara says that you must bring a salt or a dip to the table when you have bread. And then this Amara comes along and says, yeah, but if the bread already is made with something that makes it flavorful, and we'll keep the symbol of shafa now as being flavorful, you're not required to bring that out. Okay? Before we go on, does anyone have any questions about that?
Would you have to say a separate bracha on
the question you must ask in this Gemara, I think. So what's the question? Simple question. And it opens up the whole, in my opinion, it opens up the whole sugya. Say it again?
Why do you need it?
Well, okay, why do you need it? Okay, so you can, that's one question you can ask is why you need it, okay? But you got to be careful. When you ask that question, again, we don't want to be drawn to something philosophical.
Yeah.
I just want to understand, but better than that. It's not just why do we need it. You can go stronger than that question. Isaiah.
Why does bread have to be tasteless?
Okay, good. Why does bread of a son require to be... Okay, good. So why would it be that I would have to have a bread with taste in order to make my hamotze? But it doesn't mean you were over bracha batal if you didn't have it. But what kind of thing is that? Meaning that, let's say I want to have an apple, okay? There's no idea of an apple and then asking afterwards for a lifton with the apple. Make a bracha on the apple, there's no idea that. For some reason, bread requires that. And even if I had something that was tasteless, like let's say water, okay? But I'm thirsty. Water has no taste, but there's no idea of bringing
salt.
Or I was going to suggest something like a iced tea mix to make it flavorful. There's no idea like that. So what is it about bread? What is it about bread that we're saying that it requires, because it lacks taste, this food, only this food, requires you to bring an additional additive? What, you guys trying to answer it? You have another question. Look at the Rashi above where he says, Heviu Melach, right? And this is going back in the first Gemara. So Rashi adds one point. He says, Shetehe Prusa Shal Bracha Necheles B'Tam. And that's the opening to the whole thing. That when it comes to this piece of bread, it should be eaten with Tam. Okay, why? What is it about bread? What's the Chiddush that the Gemara is telling you? And that's the main question. There's one other question you should ask, which I think someone sensed it before, which is... No, because that's... Right, the first case is a question of hefsek. That's in the first Gemara. Forget that for now. Now I just want to know, assuming I didn't make hamotzi yet. Point is, when I sit down to have my hamotzi, my bread, I should have there waiting for me on the table, salt / dip.
But it's something special about it.
Right.
What's
the right.
Significance?
Bread is special.
Salt. So what?
And so therefore, if you don't have something to make it taste kashuv, it's not kashuv, subjectively, I guess.
Okay, good. Okay, okay.
No,
okay, okay. That's good. That's good. Yeah, Ezra. How does it introduce the meal? Oh, thank you. So normally, one idea in the chashivas of bread is that what does it do for us? It produces satiation. V'achalta v'savata, right? Mechayev, a benching, comes about because it produces satiation. So that's one expression of chashivas, okay? One expression of chashivas is the fact that this substance, right, fills me up in a way that no other substance fills me up in. Does that mean a person can't get satiated by eating steak? Of course he can. But the point is, halacha was saying, this is what you kaveh a suda with. Okay? So, can't ask that question. So, but what's the other idea the Gemara is telling you? There's another idea, yeah. That you need this additive is telling you another idea in the chashivas of bread. It's not just simply the fact that it sustains you.
Hey.
But okay, therefore what? Yeah?
Do you think it has some idea of joy to it? Like, some kind of enjoyment.
Okay, good.
Like a suda for yom tov, like, you're supposed to like have joy of it. I mean, usually that...
But you don't mean simcha, though. No. Yeah. But you're right, though. There's another idea that the chashivas of lechem should be expressed, and that's in... One idea is in so far as the substance is concerned. The other idea is in? Hana'a. Pleasure.
Hana'a.
There you go. Hana'a. Notice that's the other idea the Gemara is telling us. The Gemara. I know. It doesn't matter, right? It's synonymous. Notice the point is, what the Gemara is saying is that there's two ways the chashivas of bread is expressed. One is, and why does it have to be chashivas kovei suda? One way is in so far as the substance is concerned. But there's another way, and that concept is really based on the fact that by it tasting good, there's a certain hana a guy gets from the suda. You're right, I agree with you. A person should always set up for himself a situation where he'll be able to get hana from the bread. But the point is, it would be lacking in its function as a koveya suda if a person didn't get hana from the eating of the bread itself. So that's the simple, basic concept that Gemara is trying to express. Okay? Yes. It has nothing to do with the idea of the filling your stomach up with the substance. That's to do with the enjoyment of the maisa achila. There's a certain enjoyment a person has. When he eats it, yes, your taste buds. When you eat something and it tastes good, you relate to the experience in a different way. I mean, think about it. It makes perfect sense in the context of Seuda. Seuda is not simply a mechanical activity. A person should enjoy it. One of the ideas of expression of enjoying a Seuda is that the bread should taste good. If it's bland and tasteless, you're lacking a component in the chashivas of bread. Yes. All this would be simple. But the problem is that it turns out that bread back then was made in a way where... Sometimes it was tasteless, sometimes not. But it seems like there was a paradigm shift where bread started being made with... Every time you have bread today, it always has what in it?
Salt.
Okay, so you don't really have an idea today of bread that's tasteless, okay? So if that were the case, if we just stopped right now, just curious, would you ever bring salt or any lifton on your table when you make hamotzi?
No.
No one. There's no reason to whatsoever.
No.
Okay, yeah, thank you. About to get to that. Yes, very good. Okay. But at this point in time, there's no reason to. All right? Clear? Yeah.
You wouldn't say that the more tasty something is, the more fleshy it is?
I think a property of Kovei Suda, of the food you're Kovei Suda with, should have two things. One is that food can satiate you, and the other one is that it should taste good. It's a property in the Kovei Suda aspect of the bread.
So wouldn't the better taste it, the more fleshy it would be?
Well, yes and no. You got to be careful, because at a certain point, if you make it taste so good, you know what's going to happen? It's not pasta anymore. Right? That's like chocolate chip, cinnamon babka challah, like, which at a certain point is not bread anymore.
Even challah nowadays, most people have dips. Like, it tastes better.
Oh, yeah, but no. You can always bring something out, but the question is, if the bread already has, it's clear from halacha, you'll see, it's clear, that since bread, that's what Tosa says, since bread is made in a certain way today, which already has in it good flavor, there's no necessity to bring it out. Of course you can.
Bread has a good flavor. Why wouldn't you say that the more... good flavor it has, the more...
Because that's getting out of objective to subjective. Everyone agrees objectively that that bread without any additives in it is bland. That's just an objective thing. There are some people maybe who will like that, but it's objectively the question was bland. Right, it's bland. Right. Now the question is, it can't be bland, right? So it means you add the minimal shear would be melach / lifton. You want to go overboard, that's your subjective right. Right? You can go overboard if you want to, but the point is at the end of the day, right now, halachically speaking, if a person says, wow, I love, I don't know, my challah, right? I love the way it tastes. There's no necessity to bring out a dip. There's no reason to, okay? But yet, people still bring it out. Yes?
We all agree that objectively, the challah is what has the chashivas, that it can't just be whatever you feel is chashiv.
Correct. That's just reflected in brachas. Again, if we had if we redid the brachas, maybe people vote differently today. But for as far as we're concerned, halacha says bread and wine are the most chashiv food.
Is pretty good.
Right, but it's not like bread. Yes. I mean, it could be, but it's not.
Are you saying
yeah, it is? No, impossible. Yeah.
is adding salt.
Toso is picking up what Toso says. He says, "V'anu ein anu regilim." It's like halfway down the Tosfos. The anu ein anu regilim.
Anu ein anu regilim. Havi al shochon lo melach lo pedam. Mishum de pashal anu chashuv. Verehu ki adam arav isamach less than tzarich b'shash.
Okay, so I forgot to mention that the second part of the Gemara that brings in the story. What point is that bringing out? It's a proof. Right, but it's more than that. It's showing you it's not a din in the ochel, it's a din in the bread. Suda. No. Mm-hmm. Right, in other words, it's how it expresses itself as suda, not in the ochel, not in the actual entity of bread. So what Tosu says, guess what? That there's no, in his time, there was no idea whatsoever of, no necessity of bringing salt or any dip to the table. Right? So luckily speaking, if you're a Tosfos, guess what? That's it. No more, because all the bread is made to taste good. You have a question then? Okay.
So then,
he's not supposed to any Gemara. If it's a din in the ochel of lechem, right? Then you have to bring it out every time. It won't matter if it has bashash or not. Why is that relevant? Because if it's a din in the ochel, I should always say bring out salt and lechem. Say, no, it's not a din in the ochel. It's a din in how the person, it's in its creation of the hana suda experience.
What would be the reason for that din in the ochel?
You mean, what's the havmina?
Yeah.
You mean, because if you just read that, again, it's almost like a circular question. In other words, it's bringing that out to prove to you that it has nothing to do with the ochel itself. Because if you saw that halacha brought down as the ochel, what would you think? Every time I have bread, I must have a salt to lift on with it. That's a good question. I'm not sure. You want to get further than what the havmina is? That's a good question. That's a good question. I didn't think about that. That's a good question. Yeah. Tosa says, nonetheless, we still should do it. Okay, now just to be for full disclosure, all right, the idea of bris melech is an extremely difficult concept to understand, and I'm not here in any way, shape, or form to get into a deep explanation of what bris melech is. Feel free to look at the Torah. It's the covenant of salt. Okay, but yeah, I knew you were going to say that. It's a very, very difficult area. I mean, there's a Rashi on it. It's very, very cryptic. But what he is saying though is like this. He's saying that why should you bring salt to the table? Like, let's shift over. It's not a halachic idea of bringing salt to the table. What is it? It's a philosophical idea. And what's the purpose of it? This idea of the satan's mekatreg, if you're sitting around.
Keeps the satan away or something.
Well, yeah. In other words,
if voodoo stuff.
Well, we'll try to give some svara for it. But yeah,
what?
That's a good question. What you mean factually? What it means, or what's the idea?
I don't understand.
Okay, what he's saying factually is that why should I bring melech to the table? Because it's I'm just saying factually without defining
it.
I
can read it too.
Right. So it's what?
It's symbolic.
Well, don't be say symbolic. I don't like that word so much. But no, it means that you mean you understand the idea. We'll explain that. We'll try to explain it. But factually, what factual question?
Yeah. I mean. If you're why do we need a philosophical idea? Can we just take the practical idea of the Hesek Adas? If you're not going to be eating the bread without the salt, so practically you need the salt there.
No, why? But Tosa says, like, let's say today there is no bread that's made without flavors in it.
Oh, you're talking about just today.
Today, yeah. Tosa's saying in his time.
Today we're not worried about.
Right. So there's no reason to bring out salt or any dips to the table. There's no necessity whatsoever, mipi halacha today, to bring any dip or salt to the table. Strict halacha. Okay, we'll get to the philosophy right now. But strict halacha, there's no reason to.
They did it then, so you should do it now.
No, but you see, Tosa doesn't say that. And Tosa says, I don't care. There's clearly, that's the point. That's the proof that has nothing to do with the ochel. If it had to do with the bread itself, then it wouldn't make a difference. He's saying, no, once the bread is made in a manner where, by definition, is hana from eating it, there's no reason to bring it out halachically. But Tosa doesn't want to let go of this idea. So he has this notion of the melach serving as a mechanism of defense. Which we'll try to explain. But the point is, having the melech on the table ensures that the quote-unquote satan will not be mekatreg, because what's going to happen? People are sitting around and they're not thinking about mitzvos. So having the salt on the table reminds you of the bris melech. Very weird, weird tosfos. Yes? Should really like it as a more common reason based on the gonim. So what do they say? So he says, umashinagu livsal melech. Now, it's important what he says. He says, the minog to take the bread and have it on the salt, which we'll get to why it's that way. I know people do that. They put salt on the challah board, and then they have it above it. Okay,
so he's, yeah, my father I would do porn. I see. No,
they have. Oh, we'll get to porn.
Dipping.
We'll get to porn. Oh, he's home. We'll get to porn. So he says. Pishur Gaonim. So this goes back a long way. But you see, again, the Gaonim also they didn't want to lose this idea of having salt on a table. Notice, by the way, not lifton. It's not lifton. If you're going to hold the salt today, right? If you're going to hold an additive today, it's not through hummus. There's no reason to. Whereas if your bread has flavors in it, there's no reason to bring a dip out whatsoever, right? If you want to bring out salt, halakhically there's no reason to, but there's some sort of philosophical kiyum. What's that kiyum? So Tosa says it's some sort of defense thing, which we'll try to explain. But what does the Onam say? The Onam say no. They say, Shematzilu shal shulchan nekra mizbeach. So our table's like an altar, right? And the food that we eat is considered like a korban. So what was brought with every korban?
Salt.
Okay? So, what's that idea? In fact, we look at the Bris Melech brought down in Parshas Vayikra, I think it's Parshas Vayikra, and Mitzvah Vayikra, but there it mentions the idea that korbanos are brought with salt, right? So in order to, I don't know what, remember that, I guess, right? So what would happen is you'd have salt on the table. Again, key thing, just salt on the table. Why? Table's the Mizbeach. My food is like my korban. My bread's my korban. And my salt is the salt that you require for a korban.
So this time would not be adequate.
It sounds like it's a din in salt. Sounds like a din in salt. Why? What's that idea? Now that's then a halachic idea. That's a philosophical idea. Yeah.
So a philosophical idea.
From a culinary standpoint, okay, is there any necessity to having salt on the table?
No.
None. It's not adding to the bread, right? My bread already tastes good. So, what's the salt doing then? This is the key. Why? The bread's already chashuv. I'm enjoying my bread. The salt is, think about it, the salt is not adding anything to my bread experience. What do you mean? Why? But the idea that I'm talking about doesn't sound like any mechashivas in the meal. It's talking about, I should think about korbanos. I mean, forget the idea of the drasha. Okay? What I want to know is that there's a concern Chazal always have when it comes to having a meal. What's that concern? In general. It's not simply an experience of instinctual gratification. Well, give me proof that that's the case. What is every meal? What do you really have to do if you have, let's say, you have a zimun? What do you have to do during a meal? Talk Torah. Give the bar Torah. Why is that so important? So it shouldn't relate to it as simply a purely instinctual experience. There should be some, you should recognize in your eating, there's some Torah value to it. Because when we eat, the purpose of us eating isn't simply to gratify the instincts, but it's to help us in our service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? So what's the salt doing then? If that idea in mind, I think you can think about what the salt's doing. I think it's a very interesting idea. It's not serving a food value. There's no culinary benefit to the salt. How? Yeah?
Well, it's adding like an extra step of preparation to the bread, which makes you stop and think about something which relates to Shem.
Okay, good. So, very good. Let's go even further than that. Isaiah's really saying great, but I think we'll go one step further. Okay? If you see the salt on your table, okay, and you know the salt's not being used for anything culinary, so what's the objective of the Gaonim? like Seder. Right? No, what it's saying is that the fact that the salt is not being used in a culinary way, a person's supposed to say to himself, well, what purpose is it serving? So by it's serving as a vehicle to get you out of the purely instinctual experience of eating. So that's why you think about the korbanos. That idea is not that, it's not, there's, what's the idea of a korban? A korban is a shem shemayim. So you use that experience, a korban, to, in a sense, get you in the mindset that my eating shouldn't just be gratifying the instincts, but it's the shem shemayim also. But that's what the salt's doing. The salt is not, it's not that there's a benefit in any way for the food of the salt. Rather, salt's serving to bring you to a certain state of mind, to get you out of the purely instinctual, and to thinking about the fact that this is the shem shemayim. But if you just had, let's say, if you just had bread on the table, you wouldn't think that. By putting the salt on the table, the fact the salt is bedavka, not serving as a food additive, will bring to mind the idea of that this is not simply an instinctual gratification. Yes. I think Tosas agrees with this general approach. Tosas is going to also say the function of the salt on the table is not a culinary idea. It's nothing to do with eating. It's not an additive to the food. The salt has a philosophical function. It's there to serve some other role other than being a food. And that's a very unique idea. What's Tosas' idea? I mean, this is, you got to speculate a little bit here. Tosas is very tricky. What's this idea that the salt is a defense against the Satan? Well, we're not going to get into the whole issue of what a, relax, about the notion of a Satan. That's a separate parent-son learning session. But for now, what's the idea of the, what does that mean? Yeah, Benjamin.
So
happens kishiyisrael yoshven al shulchan umamtinin zed zeh ach yitlu yideim v'hem below mitzvos. So what's he worried about? Forget the satan for a second. What's he worried about? People sit around, and what are they going to do? Okay. Beautiful. But I don't think you're that wrong. In other words, when you allow a lot of Jews to sit around without anything to do, what are they going to do? They're going to be involved in what?
Discuss Torah.
No, I wish.
Discuss not mitzvah.
Right.
And not Torah.
Well, because you're what do you call it? You're damachaschus. But unfortunately, Tosfos didn't see things that way. He says that what will they do? They'll sit around and vehem below mitzvos. What does that mean? It means that it's like an unoccupied period of time. Okay? Now, this is the move I want to make. When you're in an unoccupied period of time, but you know the next thing you're going to do is to do what? Well, what's the next action that's going to take place?
Instinctual desires.
What? Right. Engage in the fulfillment of your instinctual desires. So now what do you start doing? Now I'll give you a perfect example of where this comes up. I remember when I was younger, I used to get invited to weddings. So there's a place called Marina Del Rey, right? You know where that is, right? They had the best shmorg. So I remember I would like fast for lunch before a wedding just to get that shmorg. So in the afternoon, all I was doing was I started to fantasize about how good that shmorg was going to end up being. Okay? I think that fantasy, it was always good, but never as good as a fantasy. Unfortunately, although it is a great shmorg, it's just like it's legendary, right? Yeah, there's nothing like that shmorg, right? Okay, that's like I feel like I'm doing an advertising for Marina Del Rey. Anyway, it's a nice hall too. But hold on. So I think what Tosfos is saying is that not getting too much in the bris melech. Okay, what Tosfos at least is saying is that it's not a question of the instinctual gratification from the meal itself. Rather, there's a period of time where a person, if he's waiting around, he's going to start fantasizing about how good the meal is going to be. So the idea of salt is that it's a vehicle to bring you out of that fantasy state. How the bris melech works, that's a separate question. But the point is, again, it's functioning the same way as what the Gaon is saying, is that it functions as a vehicle to get you out of thinking of the meal as purely instinctual. The machlokes between Tosfos and the Gaon isn't insofar as the gratification of the meal itself, or is it the fantasy someone has about how good that meal is going to end up being? Yes. Notice is that none of them mention something that everybody likes to do today. Someone mentioned it before. Two things people like to do today. One is dip the salt, and the other one is pour the salt. Pouring salt is brought down in the Piskei Tshuvos as a big no-no. They don't like that.
Like pouring salt on
right,
the bread.
You don't. There's no idea of
pouring
of,
salt on the bread.
Yeah.
Or
pouring salt on the bread, like this business,
you
right?
Dip it if you know the salt.
No, one second, we'll get that in a second. No, so you put the... Hold on. Where does the idea of dipping the bread into the salt come from? Right? So that's the next... The Gaonim don't say that. That's the next step in understanding the Gaonim. Some of the Acharonim bring down, and I think the Aruch HaShulchan is the one who says, and he says at the end there, he says, the Amikubalim is here, but the Litbol Prusas Amotzi B'melach. So that's not so crazy, because what are they saying? They're saying that rather than just simply have the salt on the table, how would you bring the korban? Right, it's on the melach, right? So the idea is that when you make hamotzi, and I've seen people do this, they have salt already on the board, and then they take the salt, they take the bread, and they dip it into the salt. So it's like a greater physical expression of this korban idea. But insofar as this business is concerned, that's actually not recommended halacha l'maisa. There's no idea of, you really shouldn't do it actually. If you're going to have salt, the whole point today is that it's not really there as a food additive. Rather, it has to serve as a philosophical idea. Meaning, bedafka, the fact that it's not being used in a culinary way, even though you dip it, and that's why I think it's brought up much later on, the idea of dipping. It wasn't in the Gaonim and the Rishonim. The Aruch HaShulchan says it became a later minhag among the Mekubalim. That's, okay, it's one step ahead of, or forward from the just stam having as a zecher the korban. But the idea of dipping it—that's one thing. To say to dash salt over it, what's the word? Shake. To shake salt over it is not the Achronim say is not such a thing you should really be involved in. Yes. Right. So there's no chiyuv whatsoever to bring a lift onto the table. Okay. If you want to, great, enjoy. But if you want the philosophical idea of this, it's got to be salt.
And the other question is. Oftentimes people around, like Rosh Hashanah, they will bring up honey instead of salt, and they will dip it into honey.
Oh, so that's a good question. So you should still have the salt on the table.
You still have the salt.
Why not?
Because they're like, oh, we don't.
But now you bring up a very important point, which is it's another important point, which is that if you're going to do this, which you should, okay, this has nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah or Shabbos or Sukkot. Every time you have bread, every single time, and I remember those gentlemen in the back told me, your father does that, right? Am I putting you on the spot?
No, I think it's...
You think?
I watched them once.
Right. So if you're going to do this really has nothing to do with Shabbos. There's no source that says it should be done on Shabbos. This is an idea that every time you're koveya suda with lechem, there should be salt on the table. So, I'm not saying that people on Shabbos should not use salt on their table when they have lechem mishnah. What I am saying, though, is that if you're going to do it the ideal way, if you want to really fulfill this philosophical kiyum, it's a din every single time you're koveya suda. Nothing to do with Shabbos, nothing at all. And it's astonishing to me that it's become this common practice today that for some reason they only bring the salt down on Shabbos itself. There's no source for that whatsoever. Okay.